If you have your Bible, Luke 23, I want to talk to you this morning about the first sermon I ever preached many years ago. I started out, I was 19 years old, Dave, I had one sermon, well really two sermons. And I think I told you this before, and I'd go Rick on Sunday morning, I'd preach one, preach the other Sunday night. That's the way it had to work every week. And when I first started preaching, you know, I would preach Robbie in a lot of different churches, and the preacher would be on vacation or something, and they said, let's get Sunday to fill in, and that's where I started out. This is my first sermon, though, Matt. Luke chapter 23, we're going to begin reading in verse 32. Luke 23 and verse 32. Let's stand together for the reading of the gospel, will you? This is one of the gospels, and in a lot of churches they do this. Everybody stands when they read the gospels, one of the four gospels. I'll read it. Two other men, both criminals, were also led with him to be executed. And when they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, he saved others. Let him save himself if he be Christ, the chosen of God, the chosen one. The soldiers also came up to him and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, if you're the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was a written notice above him which read, this is the king of the Jews. And one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing amiss, the King James says. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise. Thank you. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word. Thank you. Be seated. It is said of the young man, Charles Spurgeon, the boy preacher, started in London many years ago. It is said of him, Sam, that Charles Spurgeon could take a text from anywhere in the Bible and make a beeline to the cross. It's all about the cross. And I tell you today, it is all about the cross. Jesus lived a perfect life. Nobody was the absolute example, Bill, of righteousness and obedience to God that Jesus was. And yet you can't explain the life of Christ apart from the cross. It's all about, Nick, it's all about the cross. It's impossible to explain the church apart from the cross. It's all about Jesus, all about that. All about Jesus who died for our sins. If we could turn the pages of history back, go back to the first man and woman, the early pages of history, Adam and Eve were the name. They are great, 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 great grandfather and mother. God gave them a choice, and they made the wrong choice. They disobeyed God. They sinned. And since that time, since one man sinned, it's passed on to all of us. It's in our DNA. It's in our genes. Sin is a terrible thing. It is an awful thing. Sin ruins everything it touches. And on one hand, I think that while we love our sins, well, I love some of my sin, but I hate my sin. And I tell you, I deal every week, and most ministers deal every week with the results of sin. I had a bad day on Thursday. A preacher friend called me over in Mississippi, one of my old preacher friends, and he said, I had a trouble with a staff member. Somebody stole some money. Staff member. Full-time staff member. Stole the money. It's going to rip a church apart. Going to tear it up. I had another man call. I hardly put the phone down. Somebody else called me and said, hey, look, I've lost my job. Will you help me? It's just a one-time thing. It never happened again, but I've lost my job. Will you intercede for me? Because of a sin in my life. And Thursday was a tough day. Sometimes like that, isn't it? Some days just tough. But I said, God, I hate sin. The results of sin. And what sin does to people. And we spend, you know, every year in this country, We spend billions of dollars. One reason I believe, Billy, we may be almost bankrupt now is because of the results of sin. We can't build enough jails in this country. And the North and Ethel Eagle is full of it every day, every day. And some of them we've kept alive for 30 or 40 years, been on death row, 30 or 40. We can't hire enough armies. We can't pay an army. It's all about sin because law enforcement, sin. Prisons and jails, all about sin. The results of sin. Now I want to say to you this morning, and Lanny Shepherd called me one day. I think that same day on Thursday, Coach, and he said, I've been reading this. I want you to help me with something. Help me with Romans 6, and it deals with sin. And he said, you know, and then Romans 7, where it says, the things I want to do, not things I'm doing, and the things I'm doing are what I don't want to do, and I got it in reverse. And who will deliver me from this old man that I was? He said, if God recreated me, if I'm a new man in Christ, what did God do? And me and Lanny had a pretty good discussion on telephone. And I said, Lanny, I don't want to live in Romans 7. I don't want to do that. I want to live in Romans 8. I want to be a Romans 8 man where he says, who shall separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? Well, but let me say this. Here's what I told Lanny. I said this, Mike. I said, to the core of us, all of us, we are all sinners. And I don't know that anybody, that we could be eradicated from sin. Now, I don't believe the Bible teaches that. We don't live above sin. We cannot. And that's why God had to send his only son, Jesus. That's what the cross is all about. If you could live sinlessly, if we could live to sinless perfection, then the cross was a waste, wasn't it? And the blood that Mike and Sherrod just sang about, that was a waste, wasn't it? If he poured out his blood on Calvary, that was a waste without that. But that was the only way. I'm going to tell you how serious sin is. Sin is so serious that it cost God his only son. Three crosses, what I want to preach on in the next 16 minutes. Three crosses that day. If we could go back 2,000 years, could roll the clock back and go to Jerusalem in the year 30 AD and go outside on the edge of that city, we see three crosses. Three crosses. I don't look at those three crosses today because I think, John, they represent us probably. Number one is we're represented in a cross in the middle, in the center. That was the cross of redemption. The cross of redemption. That's point number one. First cross, the cross of redemption. Who hung on that? The lovely Son of God. He hung there that day. After the supper that night, that Thursday night, that he broke the bread with his disciples. And then after the betrayal, Judas planted that kiss on his cheek. Judas betrayed our Lord. And then after in the garden and the betrayal and the trial and then the terrible with the jeering crowds as he walked to Calvary, carried his cross to Calvary. And then they nailed him there for 6 hours. He hung there. Some people hung there a week and it said they hung there a week before they died. But Jesus, 6 hours. And Max Lucado wrote a book. I don't know if you ever read it, but I recommend it to you. Jim, it is, the name of it is 6 Hours, One Friday. God did it all, 6 Hours, One Friday. As great an act as creation, what he did at Calvary. I'm so glad he did because creation would be a mess without Calvary unless there's a way out, you know. But he hung there those 6 hours in pain and anguish and punishment. He did that for you and me. I want to ask y'all a question this morning. I think I already know the answers. How many of y'all ever did anything wrong in your life? Anybody did anything wrong? I think y'all, all of us, yeah. And I already know the answer to that. Well, I'll ask something. Do you remember how you felt? I remember how I felt a few times when I got caught, Jerry. It's bad. You know, the pain of it all and the guilt of it all. The Bible says that Jesus, in that hour, in his death on the cross, he took the sin of the whole world. Poured out on Jesus. Can you imagine? I can't even imagine. I don't know. I made it through some pretty dark hours in my life. You looking at a guy, I know what it feels like to be a failure. I know what it feels like when the doctor comes out, Rob, and he said, is cancer. I know what it's like. I've lived through some. I've been off to a combat zone, and some of us have been over there. I know what war is all about. I know it's what it's like to dig a foxhole. You know, chaplains didn't carry weapons. They don't carry weapons. And I don't know where my chaplain system was at the time. No, but I know what it's like. Be by yourself, and you feel like I'm out here defenseless, and really my only defense, I tell you, was the Lord.
Amen.
Amen? Listen, I've been in a foxhole. It wasn't nobody between me and the enemy but God. He was the only one. But I want to tell you, that's right, Mike. All I needed. But I want to say this. Sin is a terrible thing. Sin is a terrible thing. That's what it costs. And I want to say, we're going to baptize a bunch of little kids, little small ones, next Sunday. That precious daughter, 7 years old. We're going to baptize 6 and 7 year olds. And I tell you, I was reading this week, Matthew 18 and verse 6, it says, anyone that causes one of these little ones that believe in me to stumble is better off to what? You know the rest of that verse? It said, better to tie a millstone around your neck and drop you in the sea than to offend one of these little ones that believe in me. I'm going to say this to you. I believe this, Mike. Little ones have the capacity, and Matt and I talked about this week. We said, here's what we said, Julie. Said, Skyler probably can't write a theology book, but probably couldn't explain it all. But little ones can accept it all. They can accept Jesus. They can't explain it, but they can accept Him. And the Bible says that they have the capacity to believe. These little ones who believe in me, Jesus said, they can come at an early age. I believe that. You believe that too, don't you, fella? That little girl, that she knows. That Kennedy faith, she knows the Lord. Her faith is real. But the Bible, and what I tell them is, when I talk to these little ones, I tell them, there's one talking about going to heaven, and we're going to heaven one day. But the only thing that's not going to be in heaven, is one thing that's not going to be in heaven. What is it? Sin. And that's what Jesus came to do. He came to take care of the sin problem. That's a problem. One thing won't be in heaven. Cheryl and Reynolds, I believe I preached on her last Sunday. Nikki, your precious sister. I mentioned her. I said, one of the evidences of proof of God is I've seen Jesus this week in Cheryl's face and in her life. She's in heaven this morning. One thing that ain't going to be in heaven is sin. And it cost the Son of God His life on Calvary. And that day, Robbie, He said, it is finished. You know what that means? It means paid in full. Paid in full. I have people all the time. I saw Murray Martin this week. I went to the nursing home one day. And you're talking about it, Edna. You know, how many of y'all know Murray and Edna? How many of them know? He loves her. It's not many men love their women. I know I love Celia good, but he loves that woman. He said to me, he made this statement. Some of you, you've heard this statement. Probably Pete would say it about Peggy. Peggy probably said it about Pete. Here's what he said. He said, I wish I could take some of her pain. I just wish I could take some of the suffering for her. Anybody ever heard something like that? You ever had a sick one suffering and say, man, I wish I could take it. Well, I want to tell you something. You can't take it. And I tell you, the greater issue is nobody could do for us what Jesus did. I believe there's some loved ones that would do that. I don't think it's too many men that's here today or women that wouldn't give their... I think Brother Thad would give his last drop of blood for Janice. He would. I think Mike would for Susan. I would for Celia. But see, that wouldn't do it. That wouldn't do it. What difference? You know, Jesus is the only one that could offer and give His blood. He's the only one that could make a difference. And He's the only one, He did make a difference. He did. He did. The cross of regeneration. Then I want to say, here's another one, the second cross. Not only was the first cross the cross of redemption, but number two, the cross of rejection. Because on one side, He had two thieves on both sides of Him. And by the way, they deliberately hung Jesus there to humiliate Him. They wanted Him to be numbered. They wanted Him to be crucified like a common criminal or a robber. So the authorities knew that, Steve. They knew what they were doing to humiliate. But on one side was a man who the last day of society had said, you can't live in hatred. You can't live a life of violence and insurrection. You're going to, and his sin caught up with him. And on the last day of his life, when he hung next to the Son of God, when he could have turned to him, he failed to do that. He failed to do that. And he said to Jesus, he said, if you're really God, you save yourself and us. Remember what he said? That's what he said. He had a cold heart. And that's a sad thing, that there was a cross of redemption in the middle, the cross of rejection on one side, where this man said he would not receive Christ, would not come. I heard a story in World War I, I think it was, of a soldier. They found him out there in no man's land. They drug him to one side. He was a French soldier, and they drug him behind the German lines. He was bleeding to death, and they said, the doctor said, you need a blood transfusion. If you don't get a blood transfusion, you're going to die. You bleed to death. And he asked him this question, George. He said, he was an Englishman, I take it back. He said, will it be English blood or German blood? And they said, it'll be German blood. You behind the German line, it'll be German blood. That's all we have is German blood. And the soldier said, then I'd rather die. I'd rather die than take German blood. And I tell you, those who reject the blood of Christ, it's not a pretty picture. I don't like to be called, Dr. Ryan, I don't like to be called a hellfire and damnation preacher. I don't like that, but I tell you what, I do preach it. I believe hell is real. I believe it's just two choices. I believe everybody leaves this world, they're going one way or the other. I believe that. I believe that. Amen? Y'all believe that? Amen. You believe that? We believe that. This is a Baptist church. This is a Bible church. And we believe that. That men are saved or lost. I believe they're condemned already. Not that they got to live a life and a hellacious life and then one day they're going to be judged. The Bible says if they're not under the blood of Christ, they are condemned already. Already. Guilty. Condemned already. Then I want to say, third cross. What is that third cross? That is the cross of reception. The cross of reception. Because another man hung by next to Jesus. The Bible, legend has it that he was a Judean Robin Hood. That he had robbed rich people and given the money to the poor. Legend also has it that when he was a young boy that his daddy was a robber. And that one night, somewhere between Bethlehem, Joyce, and Egypt, when Jesus was a baby, and Mary and Joseph, then the Holy Ghost told them to leave because Herod was going to try to kill all the boy babies, that they left, and they were attacked by a band of robbers. And that this boy was the son of the chief robber. But he saw something, Ricky, in the eyes of little baby Jesus, and saw something in that little child, precious little child, that he saved the child's life. And now, on the last day of his life, in his final breaths, Jesus would save his life. It's just a legend. I don't know that it's true. But he said, Lord, remember me. And Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And the word paradise comes from a Persian word. And the word paradise means a walled garden. A beautiful place. It was a place, and that if a king wanted to honor one of his subjects, he would say, come take a stroll with me in my garden. It was a place of honor. And that's what Jesus was saying on that day. Come and walk with me in the garden. You not only do you have eternal life, but this is a wonderful place. A wonderful experience that we're going to enjoy together. I want to say that that man received, he turned to Jesus the last day of his life, and he gave to him eternal life. I close by telling this story. Many years ago in the mountains of Tennessee, at a one-room school. In those days, they didn't have a lunchroom or anything, but it was a one-room school. So if the kids were going to eat, Dr. Joe had to bring the lunch in a sack. Most of them in a sack, a little lunch pail or something. And one day his little boy, Bobby, he was a school bully, big guy, big kid. He came to the teacher around lunchtime and said, teacher, somebody stole my lunch. She did an investigation. She found out that a little poor little boy, about 9 years old, named Johnny. Johnny had taken to lunch. And the teacher said after the recess period, the lunch period was over, she said, you know, we got rules in the school, and one of them, you all know that stealing is against the Bible and it's against rules of the school. We can't tolerate this. He said, I've investigated, found out, Johnny, you took the lunch. She called a little boy up there, about 9 years old. She called him up there and said, son, we won't tolerate this here. And I want you to, he had on a big heavy coat that day. It was in the wintertime. She said, pull off that coat. He said, teacher started crying. He said, teacher, please don't make me pull off my coat. She said, John, I can't whip you, son. I can't whip you with a big coat like that on. I can't put these licks on your back and your bottom like that. You pull that coat off. And he cried and begged. He said, please, teacher, don't. Please don't pull my coat off. And she reached and got him and pulled the coat off. And she took it off. Billy found out that little boy had no shirt on. And he was crying. He was crying then. He said, teacher, I didn't want you to know. And I didn't want the rest of the class to know. But I don't have a one shirt. And my mama was washing it today. And I didn't want you to know. I didn't want anybody to know. And teacher broke her heart. And she didn't know how in the world she could whip a child like that. And about that time, oh, Big Bobby jumped up again. The boy whose lunch had been stolen. He said, teacher, I'll take his whipping for him. Let me take the whipping. I'll take it. Give me as many licks as you want. About that time, little Johnny, he reached up and grabbed that big old healthy boy. And he said, Bobby, I will love you forever for what you did for me today. And I'll never forget what you did for me today. Took my place. Hey, listen. He took my place. He took your place. That's what the gospel's all about. That's what Ben's talking about. We're talking about this 1 hour and eight. That's what it's all about, really. What the gospel is. Jesus took my place. Sin is awful. Sin is terrible. It ruins everything. Sin ruins. But there's grace greater than my sin. His grace, His power, and His blood that you sang about. It's greater than that. I'm under the blood, and I hope today you're under the blood. Amen. Amen? I hope you're under the blood, and you know that. Now, something else you ought to do. Hey, listen to me. This Palm Sunday, today, Palm Sunday. You know the crowd, they took the palm lead, they waved him, Hosanna in the highest. And on Friday night, you know what they did? On Friday afternoon, they said, crucify him. They said on Sunday, Sam, they said, hail him, hail him. And on Friday, they said, nail him, nail him. What do you say? This is a good time, I think, this Holy Week. It's a good time for all of us to come back to what is really important in life. This is what's really important. Friday night, about 9:55, there's only one thing important in Cheryl Reynolds' life. You know what that was? It's how things stood between Cheryl and the Lord Jesus and God. That's really all that matters to you. One day, that's really it. Bottom line. And so, now's a good time to get things lined up. If your heart's not, maybe somebody here this morning needs some, I need to bring some things to the altar today. I need to bring some things right down here. We don't use this altar enough. Somebody said, I wish we had more step down. I wish the altar was wide. It's wide enough. You can hit your knees anywhere, brother. You can hit your knees. Some of you at this Easter to get ready to eat. Are you going to be ready for Easter? Catherine said we're going to have a great big Easter egg hunt on Friday night. Lights and everything in the eggs out to McQueen's. Y'all want to come? Said it's going to be great. And then it got another on Saturday for the kids. I'm trying to get ready for Easter. Are you ready for Easter? Maybe you need to hit this altar and say, Lord, some things I need to give up. Maybe just give back to you some things in my life, in my heart. Now's the time to clean up. My mama did spring cleaning. Hey, by the way, this first day of April, isn't it? Mama, how many of y'all mama did spring cleaning? And all of, especially though, you probably need to do some spring cleaning.